Hi, I'm Jane Yeh, and I'm here today with Siobhan Campbell and Joe Reardon.
Hello.
Hi there.
So I guess let's start by talking about your reading and or viewing habits and how they relate to your own writing practice. Joe, maybe you could talk a bit about script writing in terms of the different kinds of reading and viewing or listening you might do.
Well, I work mainly in radio, writing scripts for radio, but the principles of script writing apply whatever medium you're working in. I will watch a lot of TV. I love a good soap opera. I love a good crime drama. But I also watch a lot of films. I listen to radio plays a lot and read scripts. One thing that actually is really important is to read scripts, because particularly if you're writing for stage, you need to understand how it looks on the page. Because part of the presentation and that will convey itself to the way the actors will interpret it. So you really do need to understand that, the written script on a page. I think anything, like any writer, you read as a writer. I read novels, I read poetry. I think poetry has quite a lot in common with script writing in terms of the concise nature of the storytelling, if you like, and the use of abstract and specific images that can convey ideas. So I read a lot of poetry too. So I read everything really, and everything feeds into it.
Siobhan, what about you in terms of, obviously your speciality is poetry, although you write in other genres as well.
Yes. Well, a bit like Joe, I read across several different kinds of material. I find nonfiction feeds well for me into poetry, so I'm sort of addicted to things like A New Scientist, National Geographic. I'm ashamed to say I'm addicted to The Economist magazine, but I'm generally coming at those kind of articles looking for something else in them, maybe a lexicon of words I wouldn't normally use myself, but that feel up to the minute or that feel like they might dovetail into my own thoughts. For instance, I'm writing poems at the moment involving cows and a few sheep and horses, but mainly cows. And I was fascinated to find recently that cows' gallbladders sell for thousands and thousands of pounds. So that's the kind of detail I might be finding in the nonfiction. And it might wend its way into a poem. Obviously, I do read collections of poetry as well. My favourite thing to do is to read the full collection, maybe over a few days from start to finish, if I can, because poets do shape their collections. There's a sort of experiential thing about almost like going into a gallery, an artist's exhibition. They shape that exhibition. The same thing with a book of poetry, I think, in the main. So I try and read it for the pure pleasure of it first. And usually I'll be turning down some pages to come back to. And when I go back to those particular poems, I try and delve into why did they arrest me? Like, what stopped me in my tracks? Often it's I'm asking, how did they do that? You know, how did that poet achieve some kind of pressure? Was it the shape of the line? Are they doing something interesting with the voice? And at that point, I usually try and find that poem, if I can, record it. Often poets record themselves and they might put it up on Vimeo or on YouTube. And then other times you can find poets on Poetry Archive or the UCD Poetry Archive. So, yeah, I'm reading all around, a bit like Joe.
Joe, so in terms of reading a script, what is it kind of that you're looking for or thinking about?
Well, I think actually just picking up on something Siobhan said about reading entire collections of poetry, you have to read an entire script in one go. I don't think you can just pick it up because it's meant to be performed in one go. So I'm always looking for how a piece is structured. That's very important to me, particularly in terms of, because I don't mind saying that structure in the terms of drama is something I struggle a little bit with. So seeing how other people have done it really helps me to see that sort of three-act structure, the rising climax, the conflict, and then the resolution. And it really helps to read. You've got to read the whole script in one go to be able to see that, or listen to a radio play, or watch. I mean, it's different if you're watching serial drama, obviously, because that's broken down into episodes. But one thing I'll also do is be alert. And as Siobhan was talking about reading non-fiction texts, and I'm always alert to watching documentaries I like, because you can get to hear how people speak, how people really do speak in real life, because dialogue in drama is not conversation in the way we would normally think of it, but it can help you to hear how real people speak, if you like, interrupting each other, pausing, not finishing a sentence off, not really saying what they mean to say, or sometimes being very honest about what they're saying. So I think also those non-fiction elements on screen can help as well. So I'm looking for that when I'm sort of watching something or reading something. I'm looking for how usually it feeds into the storytelling character structure elements for me.
That's interesting what Jo says about structure, and I think it really rings true to me in looking at poems also, because we've all got a lot to learn about how other people do things. You know, are they good at beginnings? Where is that poem beginning? Because often in an early stage of a poem, I don't know if you find this, Jane, you may write a stanza that's not the beginning of the poem, that you lop off afterwards. And so it's interesting to look at where do other people begin. Also endings, how are they ending their poem? And I think this applies to drama. How do you finish a play? Yeah. Where do you finish? Do you finish before the real end? Do you imply an ending? And the same thing applies to poetry. I had a review of one of my first collections which said, and she's addicted to the conclusion type ending. So I was disgusted. But of course, when I looked back, the person was being true and being honest. And so I learned how to do a different kind of ending, or several different kinds of endings. But again, I look to my peers to see what they're up to. And of course, we're all magpies as writers. So this is partly what we're reading for. What can we learn to bring back into our own practice? What feels right for the zeitgeist of the moment we're writing in?
Jo, did you want to talk a bit maybe about kind of the zeitgeist in terms of reading and viewing practices?
Yeah, I think it's really important in script, actually. I think particularly if you're writing for theatre, which more than the other mediums, maybe perhaps to some extent television as well these days with the way drama, TV drama is changing. But it's very of the moment. It has to reflect life as it is now. Theatre is about what is happening now. And even if a classic play is revived, it's normally revived because it has some relevance to today, not because for the sake of it, because some plays are very dated and they won't ever be seen again. So I think when you're writing for theatre, that's something I'm very aware of. And that's why I do you've got to go to theatre a lot. If you write for the theatre, you absolutely have to go and go to different types of theatre. So not just somewhere like the National Theatre in London, but also the smaller fringe theatres are perhaps showing more exciting, more diverse work. You've got to be aware of it, because to know where your writing fits in, to know where you fit in. So I think that's very, very important.
Yeah, once again, I'd have to agree on the poetry side, because if you're not reading contemporary poetry, you will not be tuned in to what's actually going on. So I always find a good thing to do is to ferret out one or two or three magazines where some of the poems speak directly to you and you think, yeah, I'd actually quite like to write like that. That might be a magazine I eventually might submit to. And if you keep up with those, and you can keep up with so many of them online now, you get a sense of what people are doing. You know, again, as Jo says, how your work might or might not be fitting in. And it's really part of taking yourself that bit more seriously as a writer as well.
Jo, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
I think the same, that idea of speaking about being aware of what's happening in contemporary writing, you just mentioned in poetry, Siobhan, is also actually relevant to radio, because radio is changing all the time. You think it isn't, and you might listen to radio play and think, oh, it's the same old thing churned out year on year. But actually, I think recently there have been quite a lot of changes on there. The key thing we're hearing a lot more is a lot more diverse voices, I think. And so I think what's really quite exciting, I think, about the way it's going is that there might be more opportunities to be much more of the moment in terms of what you're writing about. So that's what I'm thinking about at the moment with something I'm working on. But also, I think, I'm just thinking while we're talking as well, I go back to the old stories, so the classical stories. Again, which can help with structure. So I'm working on an idea at the moment that is based on Euripides' play Alcestis, just in terms, and it's got a lot of relevance today because it's about women who don't have a voice, who are sort of sidelined, and I'm trying to find a new way to update it. But constantly, you know, classical plays, and anything from, and also reading things like the Odyssey can give you a very good idea of a journey for a character.
So were there any other points that you wanted to make in terms of your reading habits and your own writing practice?
Well, the one thing I think is really important is you have an idea, any, you know, whenever, whatever you're writing, you have an idea for a story or something. You think, how shall I write this? Should it be a short story? Should it be a novel? I think in script, it's really important. Is it going to be a theatre play, a radio play, or a screenplay? And some stories just do not fit a screenplay, or they're more suitable to stage. And I think if I can just say, I did do a lot of commissioning work in theatre. Quite often we'd be sent scripts which were completely incompatible with theatre. They should have been a radio play or a screen. So you really need to think about that. I mean, I've got an idea at the moment that I know isn't going to work anywhere other than stage, but I'm just thinking about how to do it because it's a smaller idea. It's quite a political, the small p idea. So that's, to me, that's very important. If you're writing a script, you need to know where your story fits before you start.
For my part, I would say that even though you're reading as a writer, it's important to retain, you know, the excitement and pleasure of the reading. And for me, that often occurs most when I'm reading something that has a very particular voice. So, for instance, Anna Burns' novel, Milkman, you have to almost hear it in your inner ear in the accent in which Anna Burns speaks, but surrounds people living in Northern Ireland, for instance. Luckily, I'm from there, so I can hear that on my ear. But I think the way she writes it, it conveys to any reader. And that is a kind of journey, an imaginative journey into a set of language and phrasing that you come away from inspired, even if you're never going to do exactly that. But the fact is, it's the excitement of the inspiration that you take away back into your own writing.
Great. I think that's a good place to stop. And thank you both so much again, Siobhan Campbell and Joe Reardon.